You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Rizzo got robbed. Two great plays in left field.
Here comes Schneider.
Fletcher, is that his name?
No, Schneider was the first one, then Varsho was the second one.
Fastball line to left, and it's caught by Dalton Varsho.
Clement, that's what I'm thinking of.
Clement Fletcher, close.
Similar amount of letters.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Why? I mean, Clement is not an everyday name. In French origin is Clement. Or Fletcher, Clement, tomato, tomato. It's right there.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Reed Garrett sounds like a youth pop star from northern New York or something.
On 98.7.
That was an hour. Certainly was. DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. In this very hour, Stump Rothenberg, 7:45. The Knicks schedule is out. We don't know the opponent, but we know the first 4 days and times of the Knicks game. Would you like to run through it quickly with me?
Oh, I would love to run through it.
And by the way, I have a conundrum right off the bat.
Oh, no.
Yep. My cousin's daughter's bat mitzvah this Saturday.
Ooh, what time does that start?
4.
Oh.
Yeah.
What time's so the party? What time's the party afterwards?
6.
Oh, no.
What time's the next game start?
6.
I think it's going to be phone on the table.
I think it has to be.
Because I don't think there's another option. There's no way I'm going to be able to make it from till it ends at 11. No way I'm going to be able to make it till 11 knowing the score and not wanting to know the score.
At that point it's the party anyway.
Right.
I think you're fine.
It's going to be loud, it's going to be, you know, dancing. No, I'm not in my own environment. I like to watch games the way I like to watch games, and with hundreds of people screaming and yelling and kids all over the place is not my ideal for how to watch a game.
No, especially game one. I got the, just so you know, I also have the Saturday slate of games when you're done giving us the Knicks start.
So the Knicks will be at the Garden against an unknown opponent right now, either be Miami or Philadelphia. That's Saturday at 6. Then Monday will be game 2, also at the Garden. Is this right? Thursday is game 3?
If that's what it says, then that's right.
Yeah. It would appear so.
That's awful. So now I gotta go from Monday to Thursday, and then Sunday on the road is game 4.
All of which I think, if you're playing the Sixers, benefits Joel Embiid and the Sixers.
Probably the more time off, the better it would be for him specifically.
With his knee, yeah.
Yeah, that's not great. That's not great. So 6 o'clock, and that's an ESPN television game, and of course you can hear it right here on 98.7 ESPN as well. 7:30 Monday, by the way. 7:30 Thursday. And 1 o'clock on Sunday, April 28th.
Oh, I like that.
I do have additional dates, but I don't have times. Game 5 would be Tuesday, so it goes Sunday now to Tuesday, April 30th. This could potentially be a problem.
You're going to say May 2nd.
No, actually, this won't be a problem because it's going to be probably 7:30 game, so it won't be a problem. May 2nd, that's going to be quite the day, though.
Yeah, you're talking from the time we get to Publicans all the way through the Mets game into that?
I have an idea. I have an idea. Thursday, May 2nd, at the Garden. We go from Citi Field, Madison Square Garden.
I have a baseball game.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then game seven would be Saturday, May the 4th, the day right before the big pickleball battle.
Well, game six wouldn't be at the Garden.
Yeah, May 2nd would be at Miami or Philly.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so, May 2nd.
I mean, you
can
go to the Garden. I don't think you're going to see
maybe,
a game.
Maybe I want to watch it on the big screen.
Maybe there's a watch party.
Those watch parties. Maybe I want to do that. Well, it's a good thing you have a baseball game. So, and then game seven would be at the Garden Saturday, May the 4th.
Correct.
Maybe we go to that.
RJ, I really screwed that up. What I should have just done there is knowing that there's no game six at the Garden, I should have said, yeah, let's go to the Garden. We'll meet you there.
Yeah. So, yeah, stupidity for me, and then you had stupidity from you as well.
Listen, you can be forgiven for not realizing that right away.
All right, so let's just run through quickly where it is again. All right, so game one this Saturday, 6 o'clock, ESPN. Game two at the Garden, Monday, April 22nd, 7:30 tip-off. Thursday, so a week from tomorrow, Thursday, April 25th, at wherever, 7:30. Sunday, April 28th, at either Philly or Miami, 1 o'clock tip-off, ABC. That'll get you started for your first four games. Was I right with those?
You were right with those.
Okay. And there you have it.
And Saturday as we kick this thing off.
Mm-hmm. You tip this thing off.
We'll tip it off.
Yeah.
Orlando at Cleveland at 1. Phoenix at Minnesota at 3:30.
That's good.
We got the Knicks at 6. And then we got the Lakers at Denver at 8:30.
Yeah, Lakers took care of business last night.
D'Angelo Russell hit a huge corner three.
I was surprised it got that close. I thought the Lakers were going to just easily waltz their way. But Norman showed
great.
Some fight.
Zion was a beast.
Yeah,
last night.
He was awesome until what happened to Zion.
He got hurt. Yeah,
right. Which seems to be the theme of Zion, right?
He almost killed LeBron. LeBron tried to take
it. I give a lot of credit to LeBron.
Taking a Zion charge.
Are you trying to take a charge from Zion? I mean, like, God bless you. what is it? He's what? He's 39 years old?
Yeah.
And he's trying to take 21? A charge from Zion?
Can you imagine that?
You think that registered on the Richter scale? Like, that was one of the biggest hits you've ever seen.
Well, I think once he hit him, the way LeBron went down, I was like, whoa, this was a little bit different.
Right. I mean, because what would you say? Zion's got to be 300 pounds, right?
Nah, I don't know if he's at 300 now.
280?
Yeah, probably somewhere around that.
And just
275?
He would be the last guy I think I'd want to ram into me to take a charge.
In the league, he'd be right at the top of that list, yeah.
Yeah.
Right at the top of that list.
But Lakers take care of business. That's a good series, though. Lakers-Nuggets.
Lakers take care of their business. Golden State's out. Klay Thompson didn't score a point. I don't know what they do. You had Draymond.
They're
going
to have to make some moves there.
I know, but he's a free agent. They had after the game, Steph and Draymond talking about, you know, they couldn't imagine not having Klay as a part of the team.
Well,
that'd be an interesting
decision.
It's not
what
make.
They imagine, though. It's about what's best for the team. I don't know that Klay Thompson at this point is best for the team.
Right. It's probably why Bob Myers is like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do that TV thing for a little bit.
Yeah. Let me take a run with ESPN. You know what? It's funny. You mentioned some of the conversation. We have some of the conversation. You want to hear it?
I'd love to.
All right. We'll start with Steph Curry on his run with Klay and Draymond.
Can never see myself, you know, not with those two guys. I understand this league changes and there's so many things that go into it and we're not going to play forever, but you know, we've experienced so much together and I know they want to win, I know I want to win, and that's all I'm worried about.
I don't know that it makes sense to bring Klay Thompson back, though, because you're going to have to pay him quite a bit of money, I would think.
Right. I don't know if it probably doesn't make sense, but does the emotion get involved?
That's when you start to get yourself in trouble, though.
I get it. But if that's
Eli almost, Manning territory.
Yeah, but almost half joking. Like, all the success that Bob Myers had, he's like, knowing what's around the corner for this team, where they're headed. It's tough when you have a team of, like, a core group like this is that this much success, being the one that breaks it up. Right?
I guess, but
it makes sense to. But
you can't just, you know, because they're great guys and they've been together forever and they've had such success. Just flippantly, you know, let's run it back. Like I mean, if you sit down and you run through the analytics and you think proactively and you say it makes the best sense, then I can understand it. But I don't know how you would look at this and say this makes the most sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But I mean, I think when you get put in a spot like this, where I mean, there's so much emotion, there's so much nostalgia involved. Like that's something that could lead to maybe making a bad decision. But I mean, Clay was at one point was coming off the bench, right? I mean, he had you could actually see a player of his caliber trying to wrap his mind around the fact that he wasn't as good as he used to be.
Right.
Live. Like, and what that was doing to him, you know, mentally and emotionally. And listen, I get it. Steph is right. I mean, it would be hard to watch this Golden State
team and
have those three on it, but...
But this is not what they consider a successful season.
No.
Right? Getting bounced in the play-in game.
How could you?
Well, that's my point. So if you don't look at, like, what changes? You think Clay's going to be better next year? Steph's not going to get younger, right? I mean, these guys are at the end of their career. So you want to run it back just for posterity's sake?
No, you don't. I mean, I got to think that they still all want to try to win. That's the point here.
Right. Well, with this current incarnation of Golden State, they're not winning anything.
It doesn't feel like it. And what other ways do they have to actually get to that point?
Maybe it's a dumb question. I don't know. You don't think that Steph Curry would ever be dealt, do you?
He would have to ask to be dealt.
Right. So it would have to be, and that I understand. Like, we're only going to trade you if you request a trade.
Right. I mean, it's kind of the same question you would ask about Sidney Crosby.
Right.
Or it's another year where Pittsburgh doesn't make the playoffs. Does he say to them, hey, you know, the only real path for this team to kind of rebuild itself is to move on from me? Or does he want to be a Penguin for life?
That's right. You'd have to give the same respect to Steph Curry.
Yeah, I mean, if Steph said to them, hey, listen, there's no, like, this current iteration and, you know, our ability to try to make this a championship-caliber team doesn't really exist. So if you guys do want to rebuild, best way to jumpstart that rebuild is move me to a team
right.
that actually has
and
a chance to win.
And I guess the question is, does he want to try to win again? Because odds are he's not winning anything when he's going to be on Golden State now.
Yeah, but you got to think, though, dude. I mean, after having the kind of success that he's had, that Sidney Crosby has had, to put yourself through the amount of work that goes into getting yourself ready for an 82-game season, there has to be some playoff. It can't be, hey, I'm just happy to be playing these 82 games and hopefully we'll make the playoffs.
No, I that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe he looks at it and says, I want a real kick at the can. I want to go to Denver or Oklahoma City or, you know, or the Knicks or somebody like that because I want a chance to try to win another championship.
That's how I would, I mean, I don't know, I always wanted to play for the same team, but if I had as much success as they've had, like, you know, there'll be a Steph Curry statue, there's right. going to be a Sidney Crosby statue, and then the team just got to a point where there was no place to go. We weren't, you know, we weren't good enough, there was no way to get good enough. I couldn't imagine being as successful as those two are and put myself through all the stuff necessary to play at that level for 82 games, not to have some kind of prize at the end of it, or at least the ability to compete for the prize,
or at least the stage to get there. Right? Like, he's a big stage guy. If he stays where he is, he may never get back to that big stage again.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are too competitive.
Well, we'll see what happens. Should be a real interesting offseason.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So we knew the Islanders are going to go up against Carolina, right? That's already locked in, games 1 and 2 in Carolina, 3-4 back here in New York. We find out the Rangers' opponent now. The Rangers will take on the Washington Capitals, who won last night. They're going to be the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference, the second wild card, and that's the Rangers' first-round opponent. So walk me through it. I don't feel horrified by this. I didn't want Pittsburgh. I don't have to see Pittsburgh now. I think the Rangers, listen, you never know, but I feel pretty confident going into the series.
Yeah, I think you should. So let's walk through what happened last night. So Washington was the team of, you know,
control their own
Detroit,
destiny.
Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, they control their own destiny.
That's
so
right.
What happened, they're playing Philadelphia last night. Philly, and I guess Torts didn't know for whatever reason. I have a hard time believing that. But Philly can't let Washington get a point. So game is tied 1-1. Philly pulls their goalie. Oshie scores. They win the game in regulation. Well, how does that affect the other teams? Had that not happened, had Philly not decided to pull their goalie and just play this thing out, which they couldn't anyway, but had they done that and Washington only gets 1 point, they end up losing in overtime or a shootout, they would have had 90 points. Red Wings end up getting 2 last night, would have had 91 points, and they would have been the second wild card.
So, I mean, you're telling me that you think that he knew that Detroit had already won, so it was a moot point whether Philadelphia won that game in regulation or not.
Once Detroit won, it was a moot point. But at the
right
time, you couldn't let Washington get that extra point.
But for him to pull the goalie only made sense if Detroit didn't win.
Yeah, because Philly would have had... So if Washington lost in regulation, they would have had 89 points. Philly's win would have put them to 89 points.
Right. So even by pulling your own goalie, if you're Torts, even if you had won in regulation, it wouldn't have made any difference because Detroit had already won their game.
That's correct.
So if you're a member of Detroit, you now hate Tortorella and Philadelphia. Everybody else is probably saying to themselves, you know what, handle your own business during the other 81 games of the regular season.
Yeah, but if you're Detroit, you're upset, right? Because, I mean,
I understand that.
You're trying to stay locked into the Iser plan, and at some point it's going to have to result in making the playoffs here.
But you're right. Clearly you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, they're heading in the right direction.
So
Absolutely. Do
you have an issue with that?
No, I don't have an issue with it at all. I mean, it's the NHL is better when Detroit is.
No. I'm just. Do you have an issue with Tortorella pulling the goalie?
No.
Okay.
I would have done the same thing.
Okay. So Rangers Washington. Walk me through that series quickly.
It's a series I think that the Rangers should absolutely win.
I don't want any Game 7 at the Garden. You know, stress. I don't want any of that.
No. I mean, you got the goalie advantage. Shesterkin is better than Charlie Lindgren. This has not been a great year for...
Which, by the way, for those that don't know, is Ryan Lindgren's brother.
Okay. Not been a great year for Ovechkin. I mean, he came on there at the end, ended up with 31 goals, which is, I mean, just what he does. You know what to expect. Tom Wilson running around. I mean, that's going to be a lot of it. I think the biggest question for the Rangers as they try to make a run through this postseason, and why I told you I was so excited for them, when there were people upset that you would have, how dare you have a stage 5-on-5 brawl. I liked it because I think something like that galvanizes the team. I don't even know if going in they thought all five would fight, but I think they probably said to themselves once they saw the starting lineups that if Rempe's going to do it and he's going to be one that sticks up for us, then, you know, we want to be a part of this too. And I think that's a big, that for me was a big step for this team because you have a pretty good idea of how a team, especially like Washington, is going to try to beat the Rangers. It's going to be, we're going to be real physical with this team. Tom Wilson's going to be running around, taking cheap shots, something you have to pay attention to. Can the Rangers match that? Can they battle through that? Because it's hard. It's a different game.
So, in your mind, is Rempe now someone that dresses for these games to kind of...
I don't think necessarily. No, I don't think he necessarily is. Because Tom Wilson's not going to... I mean, Tom Wilson's not a fighter.
Right. But he does give that air of, you know, crossing the line of being dirty,
right,
of taking runs at your best players.
You have to pay attention when he's on the ice. Yeah, he's a skilled power forward.
He feels like the kind of guy that when he's on any other team, you hate him. He's on your team and you love him.
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely right. But all these teams, I mean, any team that the Rangers play in the playoffs are going to test them physically, test their toughness.
You'd be surprised if the Rangers didn't come out victorious in the series.
Yes, very.
Like shocked.
Dude, if they lost this series, you want to talk about...
It would be a failure to the nth degree.
Right. Like, I mean, you could... As big as a, you know, as big of a disaster as it would be if the Knicks lost to Miami or the Sixers.
No, but it wouldn't
be like this.
No, this would be catastrophic.
Right. You won the President's Trophy. You have a team that just on the last day qualifies for the playoffs. Did not have a great season. Didn't have real high expectations. You lose to them in the first round, be real bad.
Let's go to a couple calls here. Let's go to Simon in New Haven. Hi, Simon. You're on 98.7, my friend.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's going on?
What is going on with this defense for the Yankees? I mean, seriously. I mean, Gleyber Torres is just like having Chuck Knoblauch on this team. The guy makes errors. He makes errors. I mean, and what is with Rizzo and Stanton? I'm telling you, it's like watching a ping pong match.
Stanton can't run. Rizzo's defense has not been great. It's something that you expect from him. Even when he's not hitting, he's going to play great defense.
Good defense is something you expect from him.
I wish we had Robinson Cano back on this team.
Here we go.
Well, I really
do. Simon, come on. You complain that Robinson Cano goes through the motions and looks so lackadaisical. Come on.
Well, that's how it is. Boone, it's always someone. He finds a way for this team to lose.
So Simon, Gleyber Torres is very lackadaisical. I agree with you. And I understand why you would be frustrated by the way he goes about playing. You're going to blame Aaron Boone for this?
No. I'm going to blame the whoever was in charge, the coach, the infield, whatever, and you know.
You don't blame Gleyber? You don't think that the buck stops with Gleyber?
You don't think that they practice? That stuff all the time, like how to catch how to catch a throw from Trevino and apply a tag.
I know they do that. I'm not there, but I'm just assuming.
Well, don't assume. I mean, Gleyber made a couple decisions and it's who he is, and you live with it when he's going offensively. When he's going offensively, he's one of the better offensive second basemen in baseball. He hasn't got it going yet.
I don't know what more there is to say. He is it looks so
nonchalant.
Effortless for him. Very nonchalant. That's the right word. And when it doesn't succeed and he's nonchalant, I actually think it's very similar to Robinson Cano in this just kind of like laissez-faire, I'm going to go through the motions attitude, and if I'm successful, great. That's what I want. And if I'm not, well, you know what? Whatever. Now, I'm not saying that's how they feel, but that's how it looks.
It's almost like I want people to see how easy this game is.
The game is easier for me than it does other people. The problem is you're making mistakes every single night now.
Right. Until it bites you in the ear, and you know what?
Right. I mean, you're what? You're 18 games into the season. You can think of like five plays already where it's like, oh, come on, Gleyber. What are you doing?
So, I'm glad you just brought that up. Yankees have had an error in 12 of the 18 games.
Which is a lot.
Yeah. It's just, you said the same thing when we were talking about Judge and Lindor. And how much more pronounced it was with Lindor because the Mets were losing. It's the same thing when you're not hitting. How much more, more pronounced the defensive mistakes are. And is he bringing his struggles offensively out to the field with him? Which you can't do.
It looks like it. It looks like, and again, when you're winning games, you look past these errors, these mishaps. When you're losing games, they get magnified. When you're not scoring runs, simple plays at second base that allow for a guy to be at third or reach first or not throw him out at home or whatever it happens to be, they become bigger deals than they would otherwise.
Well, you also got to remember too, though, when your team, like as a team, you're not going offensively, your margin for error is so much smaller.
100%. All right, let's break. We'll come back. We'll get to your calls. Then we have Stump Rothenberg. We got some NFL to get into. We got to get back to the baseball. 1-800-919-3776. DNR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
The NBA play-in tournament gives teams the chance to play their way into the postseason, so it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You can bet on Philadelphia or Miami in tonight's play-in tournament. Maybe you like the Hawks or Bulls. FanDuel also has three-point props, over-unders, first basket score bets, and so much more. Just go to FanDuel.com/Rick to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 and older and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit is required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Not only do we have the big pregame tailgame extravaganza on May 2nd, on May 5th, Rick, the pickleball battle. May 5th, Pickleball America, Stamford, Connecticut. You and I against Anita and Armani, and I'm here for it.
Oh, I'm here for it.
I'm not going to say anything today. I'm not going to toot my own horn. I'm not going to do anything like that, but I am ready, and I am raring to go.
No. What you got to do is keep your head down. What you're doing. You got the personal trainer now coming to the house.
I have pickleball tonight from 5:30 to 7.
Right. Pickleball tonight. Play a couple more times. Keep the training up, flexibility, all that stuff. And then be ready, because there is no better way to celebrate Cinco de Mayo than watching us play Anita and Armani.
That's right. If we lose,
don't say that.
No. I'm just like, would that be devastating for you?
Devastating. Yeah. I don't even think I can enjoy the rest of the day at that point.
Really?
Yeah. There's no tequila.
And it's open to the public, so we're going to have, oodles of fans. They're going to make their way. Even RJ is going to make his way all the way from Brooklyn to watch the game.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people there. So we have to make sure that we show up and we show out. We'll be ready.
Are you nervous at all?
Am I nervous?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't call it nervous.
I mean, you've played on many big stages in your life. I'm just wondering.
Hey, I'm excited. I like pickleball. I mean, I'll be interested to see how me and you work together as a team. I think we should probably hammer that out a little bit.
I think we'll be great.
Like to have some fancy hand signals and stuff.
Do we need fancy hand signals?
I think we could incorporate a couple of hand signals.
Really? Like you want me to wave to you during the points?
No.
Like behind my back? Like just wiggle my fingers? Like, hey, hello?
Well, no, I don't think you have to wiggle your fingers. I think it depends on what kind of signal we want.
What are you going
to
do? Run some wacky formations or something? Like, what do you have in mind?
No, I can't tell you the strategy, but there are things you do as you're playing. Like, and we have the benefit, I'm a lefty, he's a righty. So we're going to want to make sure that we're both on our forehand sides, how we attack that.
That's
do
right.
Some stacking.
I mean, ball's down the middle. What do we do?
Right. That's going to be the big thing.
Well, we're just going to have to make a plan beforehand.
Yeah. And I think, listen, all that stuff is going to be ironed out. I just want to make sure that we're at our very best come May 5th.
How big of a turnout do you think this is going to be?
I think it's a tournament. It's a tournament. I don't want Debbie to get mad at me. A tournament.
Right.
Anyway. So I think there's going to be a really nice turnout for that. And I was also told, I haven't been there yet, but this place is supposed to be awesome.
Do you think if I wanted to do some pre-match preparation, they would supply a court for me in the coming weeks?
That would also be something I think I might be interested in.
Because maybe we can make a little trip up there and get a lay of the land, as some might say.
Get more comfortable with our surroundings.
Exactly that.
That's one of your better ideas you've had in a long time.
Thanks. Or maybe not. Or are you saying I don't have good ideas?
No, I think you have good ideas. Today has not been your best. I don't think it's been your best day.
Yeah, but not every day. If every day is your best day, then that's unrealistic.
No, but I look at you as a person that stacks days. You know what I'm saying?
Nah,
like
I don't.
You just stack great day after
great
day.
I'm just getting by.
I also have, and this is going to be up to you, some interest in being our coach.
We have a coach offering?
Yeah.
From who?
Tennis Pro, who also teaches paddle and pickleball, would like to be involved if we need him.
The more brilliant minds on our side, I think the better.
So I'll let him know.
Okay, but how would that? He wants to come on the day of. Like, what is he looking to do?
Well, yeah, no, he wants to come day of. Any help we need, you know, he'll be there for us.
Right. If we're down 10-3 in a game, would he tag in and play?
No, he's not allowed to do that. It's against the rules. I think it's more like if he's noticing things, you know?
Okay.
Is this like a Patches or Houlihan situation?
No, he can walk. And I don't think he's going to be throwing wrenches.
I think that's the only way, personally, for you two to get ready.
I mean, you throw a wrench at my head. I could be wrong, but I don't think that brings out the best in me. Especially if you hit me in the head one time.
And I don't think you can dodge it. That's not very elite. There's no chance I throw a wrench at your head, you dodge
it.
Well,
from what distance are you throwing the wrench?
Oh, it's going to be close. I mean,
if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Say we're up at the net. You know, we're dinking, and all of a sudden someone speeds it up. That's close.
I'm ready. I'm ready for this match. I'm excited. I'm ready. I look forward to all of it. All the smoke. I'm ready.
I'm looking forward to the week.
That week's a lot. So we're going to have the heat of the Knicks, the Rangers, the
Islanders.
The Islanders, the matinee pregame party, and then the pickleball on Sunday.
It is a...
That's a lot of a week.
Oh, it is, and it's nice.
Could be a little overwhelming. Let's go to Shooter in Stamford, see what he, if anything, is bringing to the table today. Hi, Shooter.
Good morning, boys. Good morning, companies. Always a pleasure. The wife's with me this morning in the car. She said, don't bring me up. Okay, sorry.
Sorry. What's your wife's name, Shooter?
Abby.
Abby. Hi, Abby.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, except I have to listen to you guys all car rides work, so.
Well, why is that a negative, Abby?
Yeah.
Also, I have a great point because I had to listen to you yesterday.
Yeah.
I like the Jason Kelce body. I like that body. So in terms of the advertisements, I think you should just embrace the teddy bear.
Really?
Yeah, but Abby, how could you like that body? You're married to a man that looks like a human greyhound.
Yeah. I mean, your husband looks like Slim Goodbody. I don't understand.
I don't either. Makes no sense.
When you first met Shooter, did you instantly know there was something there, or did you kind of realize, you know what, this is probably about as good as I can do? Like, what was the thought process behind Shooter?
When I first met him, there was almost no second date. But then the second date... was amazing. So
amazing.
Yeah.
Abby, last question for me. Abby, last question for me. Will there be times, a good call on the music there, Raymond, that during throes of passion that Shooter will slip into one of his many voices?
I'm absolutely not talking about that.
She just pushed the phone away.
That's
Rick.
A yes.
So that's a yes.
A yes.
I didn't even hear the question. I just heard the start. Not talking about it.
She's shutting it down.
He will know, though.
Shooter, sounds like you married up, though. I like the sounds of this, Abby.
Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, what do you got, Shooter?
All right, with the Knicks. I think the Knicks, I love this team. I think the matchup was important for this team because we're not the best. And I trust Tibbs. I think that we tried hard that last game for a reason. He knows what he's doing. I also think here are the positives, right? We got three-point shooting now. We have our bench that's developed because of injuries throughout the season. We got Jalen Brunson playing like an MVP. He was on a list with Larry Bird and what's his name? Three-point shooter.
Steph.
Best three-point shooter in the league. Steph Curry, yes. They were two MVPs that season. He wasn't, but he's playing like it. And I think the wild card is OG because, right, we don't have Julius Randle there. He could be the what puts us over the top. I feel good about this team. Go, Rick.
No, sure. Thanks for the phone call. Abby, it's very nice meeting you. I actually think that a couple things with whoever they end up playing is going to be the rebounding, first and foremost, for the Knicks. That's one of the things that they do really well. Second chance points, offensive rebounding. Having Mitch back is big for that. It's also going to be the what you do with the minutes when Brunson's not on the floor.
Which that's going to be a huge deal. Can't be a ton of minutes.
Well, I know it can't be a ton of minutes. I understand that. But, I mean, he is going to have to take a break at some point.
Absolutely.
And that's been one of our biggest problems. And now all of a sudden you're going up against a team, either Miami or Philadelphia, that has the ability to really take advantage of that. And the other thing, too, I would say the other wild card, if it's Philly, is how healthy Joel Embiid actually is. There's a lot of people that keep pointing to the fact that since he's been back from the knee, a lot of the stuff he's been doing has kind of been in the mid-range. Does that change now because it's the playoffs? Like he's trying to, you know, ease himself into the playoffs? It's going to be tough either way. Both of the matchups are going to be tough matchups.
There's nothing easy about this series. Whether it's Miami, whether it's Philly, absolutely nothing.
No, but you're the two seed. This is not your...
Let's go.
Your normal run-of-the-mill seven seed that you're playing. These are two really good teams. And we'll see what happens tonight with it.
J.J. Roth, that's the program director that hates Raymond, I believe.
Yep.
He said, today is National Haiku Day. Jets fly high and low. Touchdowns rare as clean subways. Hope springs, then flat tires.
Yeah, I don't love it.
No, I don't think you would.
Yeah.
I didn't know today's National Haiku Day.
I didn't either.
That's nice to
You're
learn,
not even
though.
Real sure what a haiku is anyway.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really understand what a haiku is.
So, why would you celebrate it?
I don't celebrate National Haiku Day. I'm just bringing it up to everyone's attention. Today is, in fact, National Haiku Day. But it's not a day that I revel in.
No, I find it real strange, though, that Shooter's wife likes the Jason Kelce body.
But is married to a man who has like elastic skin.
Right, like you can actually see like through his skin.
Right, like the ribs. You can count his ribs. Right?
Yes. That is interesting.
It is interesting. Hate doing lawn care. Use True Green. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. We all know those are some nice greens, so just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April the 20th, which in fact is this Saturday, get one application for free. Visit truegreen.com for the best lawn at the best price, guaranteed. Restrictions apply. You ready?
Listen, I don't have to be ready. I'm always ready. Are you
No, but
ready?
I like you as kind of my the Robin to my Batman in this segment.
I have a good feeling about today.
All right. Let's fire it up, if you will, Raymond.
He knows sports.
What if we made you like an ice crew member for the Islanders?
An ice cream vendor?
And he's very humble.
Your mother.
So now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
So I love paying attention. They got Silva.
Who is Silva? I stand by that. Who is Silva? All right. If you want to get involved, you can. 1-800-919-3776. Last week, some of the questions, not great. I'm hopeful this week is better. That doesn't mean I didn't get everything right. It just means that you want it to be a question that is titillating, and some of them last week were not. We start out, as we always do, Andy in Merrick. How about it, Andy?
Good morning, guys. 8 days and counting till the NFL draft.
Right.
So today's question involves... Thank you, Raymond. Today's question involves the 1981 draft, David.
That's the Lawrence Taylor draft.
Yes, it is. There were six, count them, six defensive players drafted that went on to the Hall of Fame. Three of them were linebackers, one being LT. Can you name the other two?
So Ronnie Lott was in that draft. Mike
yes.
Singletary is one.
Yes.
Ricky Jackson is two.
Oh, David, give it unreal.
Yeah, Mike Singletary from Baylor. Ricky Jackson went to Pittsburgh. And Hugh Green, of course, went to Pittsburgh as well. And he was close to winning the Heisman Trophy in the 1980 season. So there you go. The Jets, actually, with the pick after Lawrence Taylor, that draft, Rick, took Freeman McNeil.
So I knew I had a good feeling about the start today. I knew
yeah,
I
that was
could
a good
tell.
Start, right?
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah, NFL draft history is kind of right in my wheelhouse. All right, let's go to Patty in Schenectady. Hello, Patty.
All right, Dave. This week I want to ask you another Kazmetsui question. No, I'm just kidding.
No, come on. Be better. Be better.
I actually have an NFL draft question as well.
Okay.
We often refer to some schools as, like, you know, DBU when LSU was coming out with all these, you know, D-backs and stuff like that. So Iowa has been referred to as tight end university. Over the last 10 years, there are currently four starting tight ends in the NFL that are very good. One's kind of tricky, but pretty good tight ends in the NFL. Two are first rounders. One is a fifth rounder. One is a second rounder. Can you name me those four tight ends from Iowa that are, quote unquote, very, very good in the NFL?
I mean, it's kind of subjective, but
you got Kittle. You got
right,
LaPorta.
Kittle, Dallas Clark, but that's probably predating when you're thinking.
I just gave you two.
You gave me Kittle.
Yep, Kittle and LaPorta.
Did you give me Hawkinson as well? I didn't hear.
No, I gave you Kittle and LaPorta.
Nope.
All right,
that's
so I'm going to say
Dave.
Hawkinson, and I think Noah Fant was from Iowa, wasn't
that
it?
That is correct. Four for four.
Did we get LaPorta?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we got them all.
It's sad what happened to you there, Rick.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to me.
Blatantly ignored.
I couldn't hear.
It's, you know what happened, Rick? Sometimes when Robin speaks, he's just not heard by Batman.
Oh, right. No.
What does that mean?
It's the analogy you used. He's Robin.
He's treating him more like Alfred.
I didn't say that he's not respected. I just said that he's the Robin to my Batman of this segment. How is that bad?
Yeah, but you weren't treating me like Robin. This wasn't like, hey, Batman, I'm sitting right next to you, Sam LaPorta. This was kind of like...
He said hey, Sam LaPorta like 3 seconds in.
At least.
But I didn't
like
hear,
right
Raymond,
away.
Raymond
right
was playing,
away.
Like audio that was interrupting me, and I couldn't hear that.
Wow.
Everyone else heard it.
Well, I'm in the zone. I thought there was a but. Oh, Clement. That's who I'm thinking of.
That was not who made the play.
The third baseman, right?
That
was not who made the play. No. The answer is the best part of it. There is no Clement. Those were great plays in left field.
Close. I mean, Clement Fletcher. Close.
Well, you know what? It was the same similar amount of letters. That's not who made the play now. Now, you know what? We're going to make fun of me. Why don't we make fun of RJ a little bit? There's a man by the name of Leary on the phone.
That seems right.
Leary?
Why don't you ask him?
Look out for this guy. I'm Leary of this guy. All right, Leary in Bergenfield. Let's see what you have going on.
Hey, what's going on, Dave? It's actually James from Bergenfield. That's my last name. I wanted to go incognito today.
I got you. Okay. All right, James so, Leary, what do you have?
I got a baseball MVP question for you. So the question is, who is the last American League MVP to win the award but not make the All-Star team that year?
That's a good question. And this is American League, you said?
American League. I figured you'd like this better than my coaching questions with multiple parts.
This is a good question. All right, so let's think. Is this forever ago, or is this somewhat recent?
No,
definitely somewhat recent for sure. You definitely watch this guy play.
Now, I think... I think Bryce Harper did it, but obviously you're looking for American League, right?
Yes. Yes, Harper's the last National League guy to do
okay.
it, but I'm looking for American League.
I kind of feel like I have, like I've been asked or been or seen this question somewhere. I feel like I should know this.
Did you say something, Rick?
No, that was just that was Robin over in the corner just talking to himself. It was me and Batgirl just having.
Well, I gotta be honest. I don't know the answer. So if you know it, this would be a good time for you to come up with that.
I don't want to steer in the wrong direction, but I think I want to say it's Justin Morneau, but I'm not 100% sure. With the last American League, got to do it.
All right. Listen, I don't know the answer, so that's as good a guess as any. You seem to have some knowledge of this. Let's go with Justin Morneau, the Canadian.
Yes, that's correct. Justin Morneau
yes.
in 2000.
Nice. See, that's why you're so talented.
The only reason I think I actually know that or have maybe bust chops about that was because I play with Mark Parrish was a Minnesota guy. And he was good friends with all those guys, because they're hockey guys. They loved hockey. So
that was helpful.
Buddies. Yeah, for today it was.
Yeah, it paid off there. All right, so we're 3-0. Let's go to Perry in Jersey City. Hi, Perry.
Good morning, Dave and Rick. The Bears are going to pick first in next week's draft. They've never had a quarterback who threw for 30 touchdowns in a season. Can you name the franchise that has gone the longest since they last had a quarterback throw for 30 in a season?
Well, the Bears.
No. A team that had it happen, but it was a long time.
God, 30 touchdowns is not a lot of touchdowns nowadays either. I mean, you think of its teams. I mean, you go through them. It's not going to be Washington. It's not Dallas. It's not. I mean, I can't imagine it's the Giants. It's not Philadelphia. Not the Lions. Not the Vikings.
I think the answer might surprise you.
You know the answer, Ray?
I think I do.
Well, certainly not the Saints.
Two teams come to mind for me, one more than another. But I have to talk with RJ. I have a good feeling about it.
Not the Bucks. Is it an AFC
has a good
team?
Feeling.
Ray, is it an AFC team?
I don't believe so.
So you think it's an NFC team, huh?
See, that might have given it away already.
No, well, it didn't.
Wow.
NFC team. Oh, it's not the Bucs. It's not the Saints. Rick, you don't know it, do you? Because I don't know.
Not definitively. I'm just sitting here looking through the teams trying to figure out.
Ray, do you think could it be the Panthers?
No, I feel like the Panthers should have had a guy.
All right, well, Ray, why don't you tag in? I don't know the answer. What's the answer?
See, I initially thought it would be the Browns, but I think it might be the Commies.
Oh, the Commanders. All right, well, let's see if Ray's right. We're going to go with the Washington Commanders.
Well, that's correct, and it's been a while for
I
the
love
Browns.
My Commies.
For Washington, it was Sonny Jurgensen in 1967.
Wow, that's a good pull by you, Raymond.
And
very well
the reason,
done.
And the reason I thought it would surprise you is because you were just talking about Kirk Cousins. You know, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. and he would have been the guy that you would have thought who would have done it. But yeah, he never did it in Washington.
Wow, you guys are really saving my bacon today. It's a good job by my Robbins.
Raymond, that was a great pull right there.
That's terrible.
What?
You called one of multiple Robins.
Well, I mean, my Robins are they're coming to the plate today. They're doing a great job.
Batman did have multiple Robins, but still.
Like who played Robin?
In the movie? I think it was Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell played Robin, yep. No, what, the actual Batman show?
Yeah, the original show was what, Adam West and Burt Ward?
Burt Ward, yeah.
You guys are the Burt Ward to my Adam West today. It's tremendously helpful. All right, let's continue along. Let's go to Mike in the car. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Holy miracles.
Hey, good morning, guys. Had a movie question for you, Dave. I know you like big cast movies, so I had the 1983 classic The Big Chill for you.
Oh, I love that movie.
Kevin Kline, Tom Berenger, Glenn Close.
Yeah.
The most famous actor in that movie is never seen or never heard from, but he is in the casket. Can you name him?
Oh. So Meg Tilly was the girlfriend in that. So the reason they got together was the death.
The death of their friend Alex.
Right. So the person in the casket.
Yeah, the most famous actor in that movie is the guy in the casket.
I'm thinking it's either Bruce Willis or Kevin Costner.
You're right there.
I'm right there, aren't I? I think I've heard this. I love that movie. William Hurt was in that movie. Jeff Goldblum was big in that movie. I'm gonna say Costner. Final answer.
Give him the ding, boys.
There we go. That's a 1983 vehicle. The Big Chill. South Carolina. That's where it takes place. That's where they reconvene. Oh, that was nice. All right, we remain undefeated. Before we continue, Robbins, you're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, WEPN-FM. Where?
New York.
That's right. RJ, how are you feeling about this episode? I imagine pretty good. All right, let's go. There's a couple of NHL questions lining up. Let's go to Gino in Woodbridge. Gino, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, gentlemen. In Stanley Cup playoff history, there have been 61 penalty shots called. 20 have been successful. This goalie has faced 5 with only one scorer. Whom is that goalie?
And this is in the playoffs?
Yeah.
The Stanley Cup playoffs, correct. Not the finals, but the entire playoffs.
I mean, I know Richter had a big one.
That was one of my favorite saves in the history.
The one on Burry?
Oh, my God.
You know, it's funny. He said that he used the same move in the All-Star game earlier that year at the Garden.
Right, and you take a... I would always take like a kind of like a mental notebook of what I saw guys do.
Do you have any idea?
In the playoffs?
Yeah. Could it be Hasek?
I don't know. Most penalty shot saves in the playoffs.
Could it be Brodeur?
Not saves. He's faced 5 shots. He's the one that faced the most. He actually only gave up one goal and turned away 4. So
he made 4 saves, letting one go. I don't know. Listen, go Hasek.
I don't think it's Rick.
Final answer.
No. Hang on a sec. I mean. I don't have any idea. You want to go Hasek?
Go Hasek.
All right, we'll go with Dominic Hasek.
Yeah, you know, but that's right. But that's like asking a mechanic what's wrong with the engine, you know?
Well, though, you're the one that asked the question.
Yeah, but you got a pro giving you a help.
Well, I mean, then don't ask the question.
Fair enough.
I love it. You ask a question, we throw it around, we take a guess, we get it right, and now you're attacking us for getting it right?
When the problem is too difficult, you go to a professional. It's what you do.
I don't understand. What was wrong with that, what we did?
Not a thing. Not a thing.
Well, did he not know Rick was on the show?
I guess he thought Rick would be silent the entire time.
Who knows? Who knows? I talk to you, you don't even pay attention. So sometimes
I listen to every word you're saying when I need it.
Yeah, when I need it.
Let's go to Brian in Center Reach. Brian, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Sure. First time on Stump. So my question is, in the history of the NFL, there have been 5 wide receiver tight end trios to go over 1,000 yards. Can you name the last wide receiver tight end trio to do it?
So both receivers and the tight end went over 1,000 yards?
So any combination of three. So it could be 3 wide receivers. It could be, you know, a tight end and 2 receivers, 2 tight ends, 2 receiver, 1 receiver. Any combination of the three. But all 3 players had to go for over 1,000 receiving yards.
How recent are we talking about?
It could have been the Vikings.
So 2 have been fairly recently, like within the last 25 years.
The last 25 years.
Well, it's got to be because, I mean, the passing game wasn't that.
Right. I mean, Kelsey and Tyreek, but I can't think of a third one on that team.
I don't know. I mean, what teams? I mean, the Niners could have been like Jerry Rice. No, because this is going to be so long ago.
So, do you want a hint?
No.
Okay.
Could it have been the Rams? I'm just trying to think what team that. The Cardinals with Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin. Well,
that's not a bad one. Who's the third one?
Yeah, he said tight ends count.
Who's the third one here?
I don't know. All right. Now, but you said most recent. Because I would have gone with the Chargers of like the early 80s with Charlie Joyner, John Jefferson, and Kellen Winslow. But you most recent.
Yeah, so the Chargers in the 80s, in 1980, did qualify with Kellen Winslow.
Steve Breston?
Yep.
Fitzgerald, yep. Anquan Boldin, and Steve Breston.
Yep.
Nice. That's why I'm Batman.
Nicely done, Batman.
Thank you. Wow. Can we take a minute here? What?
You're very proud of yourself.
Steve Breston out of Michigan. Come on. That was a phenomenal job by me. Thank you. Let's go to Chris and Bethpage. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Who was the only Islander goalie to sign an 18-year contract after being drafted number 1? No, I'm only kidding. That's just a joke.
That's too easy.
I wish it was 18 years. Yeah, that would have been nice.
No, I know. Anyhow, 2 actors directed themselves to best acting wins at for an Oscar. 2 actors actually directed themselves, and they won best actor in the same picture they directed.
So actors that directed themselves and it won Best Picture? Is that what we're looking for?
No. They won the Best Actor. They directed the movie and they won the Best Actor.
Did Affleck and Damon direct that?
I don't think they directed it. I think they wrote it.
And I'll give you. I got to give you a big.
I don't.
Hint.
I don't want a hint. I don't want. I don't want a hint. I don't want a hint.
All right.
Ooh. Robert Duvall in The Apostle, 1998.
No.
Oh. I like this question, though. Roberto Benigni.
He's one. Very good.
Yes! Yes! Life is Beautiful, also 1998, I believe.
Very good. Very good. That's one. And the other one, I just got to tell you, you got to go back. You got to go back about before our lifetime. But he's a
before
famous actor.
Lifetime.
Very famous. All-time great.
You think we've heard of him, right?
He's considered one of the top five actors of all time.
Sir Laurence Olivier.
Very good. A Star is Born. Very good.
Wow. I wouldn't even have thought it was Star is Born. I would have thought it was Hamlet. But we'll take it regardless.
Yeah, Star is Born. I think it was 1948, somewhere around there.
Okay. Well, there you go.
All right. Good job, Dave. Very good.
Nice. That was nice.
I told you I had a good feeling about today.
Apparently a really tough Seinfeld question. Do we want to take it?
Listen.
Hey, let's take it.
All right.
I love the Seinfeld questions. Jared in Morganville. Jared, go ahead. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
What's up, guys? What's up, companies? All right. So Jerry's apartment's 5A.
Yeah.
They referenced two different apartment numbers throughout the series for the same apartment. They were just marked different than 5A. Can you name either one of them?
No. So this is going to be a guess. So they reference?
Like, they show outside his apartment, and it didn't show 5A.
I think
we've had this question before.
Wasn't only like looking for one of them.
Wasn't it like 3A or something like that?
We'll go 3A.
Final answer?
Yeah, why not?
Fill him up with the ding.
Nice. Yes. Nice. I had no idea. I do know they lived at 129 West 81st Street, but I didn't know the alternate apartment numbers. That was nice.
I could have sworn we had some question like that before.
Well, good for you for remembering it, Robin. RJ? RJ?
Yes, guys.
Yes, Batman.
I am Batman. You want to start with the five-pack? You want to take another one or two? What do you want to do?
Well, what about one Mr. Richard?
Yeah, I listen, RJ, I've helped so much today as
a
sidekick.
I don't feel like he's an adversary today. I feel like he's part of the fabric of the segment.
Holy ricochet!
Let's take this one last NHL question, and then we'll hit the five-pack.
All right, let's go to Noah in Bergen. No, then we'll go to you, Rick. I didn't mean to disparage you.
No, I don't have to ask a question. I feel like I'm meeting you more
team. I just feel
team.
Like you're kind of my compatriot here, not my adversary. You know, you're not the Penguin today. You're the Robin.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right, go ahead, Noah.
Thanks, guys. I like how RJ called you Batman, because RJ could easily fit into the Burt Ward-type Robin role.
Yeah.
Usually a smaller
Burt
fellow.
Burt Ward, in fact, was a diminutive fellow. That's accurate.
He really was.
Yeah.
Okay, here is your quick NHL playoff question. Who is the active leader in playoff goals?
Active leader in playoff goals. That's got to be. I mean, that's got to be.
It doesn't
Ovechkin.
Feel like this is like. Could it be a someone from the Lightning?
That's got to be Ovechkin, no?
That seems too easy. Don't take that as an answer. That's got to be too easy.
Hold on. Let me think about this for a second. Active leader in playoff goals, right?
So what teams have gone on major runs and
oh, you're right.
Forever?
I know what he's doing.
What is he doing?
I know what he's being sneaky. I know what he's doing.
What is he doing?
I know exactly what he's doing. He wanted me to think Ovechkin. That's what he wanted.
Well, but I told you it wasn't going to be Ovechkin.
Right, you're
is
right.
Is it Sid the Kid?
No, not Sid the Kid. Not Sid the Kid.
Not Sid the Kid.
This player is one
Ovechkin
of the best.
Ovechkin and Sidney are 2-3, by the way.
This guy is one of the best in front of the net deflecting pucks I've ever seen. Joe Pavelski.
Oh, Joe Pavelski.
Final answer?
Final, yeah. He's confident.
Well, give Rick the ding.
When yes. Robin knows, Robin knows. That was nice.
Trying to trick me.
Yes. Well, because you fell for the bait, though.
I did.
Like Ovechkin. There's no way it
was beautiful. He had one of those little spinner baits. It was beautiful looking.
All right, that's nice. All right, why don't you ask your question?
My question's so easy, though.
So you say.
No, it's easy. I wanted to do a question relating to one of the best athletes in New York right now.
Jalen Brunson.
He's going to make an All-NBA team. You could make the argument that he should be first-team All-NBA. Can you tell me the New York Knicks that's been named to the most All-NBA teams?
I mean, Ewing, that's not going to be the answer. Any All-NBA team or All-NBA first team?
All-NBA.
I mean, who could it be? Could be Ewing. Could be Clyde. I feel like I'm being tricked here. It has to be Patrick Ewing.
Is that your final answer?
Now I don't know.
Oh, come on. Is it your final answer or not?
Yeah, final answer.
Well, give him the ding. Patrick
Ewing. Yeah.
7 times.
It was too simple. You made him have right, many doubts.
Maybe have no idea what the
here's,
answer
was. Here's the genius of the sidekick. Is I want to have a question that I have sitting there waiting. If he does struggle, I hit him with this. Boom, gets it right. Back to being the smartest guy on the planet.
Right. Back to the smartest guy in the room. RJ. RJ.
Yes, Dave.
How you doing?
I'm well.
Good. How do you feel we did today? And when I say we, I mean we collectively.
I think very well.
Yeah.
I think very well. I hope I don't ruin it here, but listen, the five are the five, so here we go.
No, good. What's the theme? Is it NFL draft?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. These are position players in the NFL draft of years past, as you would say. Ryan Matthews.
Who?
The running back.
Ryan Matthews?
Mm-hmm. Football player. Carried the ball. You'd turn around and
I understand what a running back does.
You would hand him the ball.
Ryan Matthews. I don't even know who Ryan Matthews is.
Oh, no.
He's related to Fletcher.
Who the hell is Ryan Matthews?
He played for the Chargers.
I don't know who he is.
We are not off to a good start.
This is the worst start in the history. Did he play for the Eagles?
I believe he did play for the Eagles, yes. Would you like to come back to this one?
Rick, being serious, do you know who this guy is?
Do I know where he went to school? No.
No. Do you remember him as a running back?
I remember a Matthews for the Eagles more than I do the Chargers. I could never tell you where he went to school.
Played 5 years for the Chargers. Had a couple.
He obviously wasn't a very good running back.
Had a couple
right?
thousand yard years. Had a really? 12. Had a 1,200.
He was a pretty decent back. I'm shocked
so
you don't remember.
You guys all vividly remember the greatness of one Ryan
scored,
Matthews.
Scored greatness might be a stretch,
yeah,
but
drafted in 2010, scored 37 touchdowns.
I don't know.
Troubling.
Yeah, I don't know. Not only do I not know where he went to school, I didn't even know he ever existed.
So, he was the 12th overall pick.
Wow, that's a terrible job by me.
Wow.
This doesn't happen often. I feel bad about this.
Yeah, this
Archie,
is
give him a hint, see if he can get it. Give him some kind of hint.
Played out west, not a major Power 5 school.
Fresno State.
Yeah. It's amazing how this happens.
All you need is if I remember correctly, with Ryan Matthews, he only had one T in his name.
You don't dangle it in front of me. Just because I don't know who he is, you're like, oh, well, he only had one T. If I remember correctly, he's a man with only one T. So he was low on T. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Low T. Ray just... slamming it home right on top of you.
Wow, that was shocking. I don't know who he is.
All right, we'll go a little easier.
No, not go easier.
Well, This is a man you...
Cesar Romero of this episode today.
This is a man you consider a friend, I think. Harry Douglas.
Who?
Harry Douglas.
I think he's Louisville.
That's right. Yeah. Trent Richardson.
Alabama.
Okay. Now we're back.
Third pick in the draft.
Now we're back on track.
No, maybe by the the Browns.
He's traded Indianapolis in one of the worst trades of all time.
Right.
Alshon Jeffrey.
South Carolina.
Oh, now we're red hot.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Ryan Matthews will stick in my craw forever.
I hope this one doesn't because this is not super easy. If you didn't know Ryan Matthews, I have worries about this one. Monty Ball.
Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Number 20.
Way to finish strong.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, though. The whole thing was ruined. You got one more, like a bonus?
Just because you
Just because of the whole Ryan Matthews debacle,
soiled himself with the first one.
All right, CJ Spiller.
Clemson.
Nice. Good work.
I am smart.
You see what you've done here, RJ, right?
Yeah, you killed me.
It was not my intent.
He's done. You know how he like comes into the studio like 3 minutes before the show and says he's got nothing? And it's like, okay, we know you have something. He might not have anything left.
I have nothing.
So this is like if we're watching film of ourselves and like I went too hard. Now, and Dave is just, he's out. Mentally, he's out.
You killed me. You remember when Mike Tyson used to fight those tomato cans? And what he would do to them in like 9 seconds, 23 seconds, they'd be like through the ring and they'd be like sitting in the promoter's lap? That's what you did to me.
This was like Gaethje Holloway, RJ, and you two decided at the end of that, at the end of
two
the fight,
seconds
you're
left.
Stand in there and you're going to just throw. And unfortunately for Dave, he's...
You murdered me with your Ryan Matthews.
I feel bad. I don't think that was that crazy. I've asked much, much, much harder.
Really?
Than Ryan Matthews?
Ugh. I feel so turned off by this now.
I'm sorry.
You did play for the Eagles.
You forgot the guy existed.
You know, but...
I still don't know who he is.
But you know where he went to school.
Well, because you gave me a hint.
Well, to be fair, life comes at you fast in the NFL. Like, he played in 2016.
No, I suck.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I absolutely. What do you want to talk about now? The Knicks? It doesn't matter. What do you
want
to...
It was the only one you got wrong the whole time.
Yeah, but that's the one that'll stay with me.
Right. You got the question right.
Come at me tomorrow. I'm going to know everything about this Ryan Matthews fella.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
That's too late.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to write a biography of this guy.
Well, how about this? How about you do the Thursday open? It can be all about Ryan Matthews.
How about no? I see what you're trying to do, which is clever. No. You're trying to... No, you're lazy by nature trying to pawn off your Thursday open on me.
I don't know if you could find one person to describe me lazy.
Well, if you're having me do the Thursday open, ipso facto, now you're lazy.
Well, ipso facto, I'm going to be the one that does the Thursday open.
Good.
We all know this.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.